some people would wonder about why you bring this kind of a message. And so the Lord led me. I wasn't asked to bring this message, but the Lord led me to bring this message. Some time ago, it's been a long time ago, there's a man called me. He was a developer of church software. I met him in Atlanta at a kind of a conference for software for Christian organizations. You know, I'd gotten my computer, and I thought I'd like to go down there, and I went down to Atlanta from Maryland to look at the software, and I met this guy. He was an airplane pilot, an American airplane pilot, retired, and he was a Christian, and he decided he's going to create some software for his church, and then he decided he's going to produce this. So we became friends, and before we left, he gave me a copy, and I still have a copy on my computer. It's called Roll Call. But he called me one time, and he said, my son's in Boulder, Colorado, and I wonder if you wondering about the Boulder Mennonite Church. I said, I don't know. I'll check it out. So when I got checking this out, the Boulder Mennonite Church, I found out that they were what they call an affirming church. Do you know what an affirming church is? Anybody know? What is it? Exactly. I had to call him back and say, no, I can't recommend that church. And so, I thought, what in the world? Here's a Mennonite church that accepts homosexuality. So I did some studying on this through the, I don't know if it was right then, but, and I was read someplace that the the church that has homosexuals in have always been preceded by women leadership. Maybe it's not that way anymore. And so, if I went on the website today, there's a website called Brethren Mennonite Council. And there are 87 churches or groups that are supportive of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender lifestyles. Can you imagine that? Now, let me ask you something. How did they get there? How did they get there? What preceded for them to get there? You know, sometimes we get on a path, and if we follow that path, it's going to lead to wherever it's going. And so, how did they get there? I believe that it is when you disregard the order of God that you suffer the consequences. I thank God that we as a Mennonite people have endeavor to follow the truth. And if you leave the truth for what is not truth, it's on the wrong road. And we have a double responsibility because we've been taught. Some people have never been taught. God has his way. He knows, but to whom much is given, much is required. And so I like to share with you, I think in a fresh way, what it is to be a Christian man and woman. Today's message is about the beautiful creation of male and female and for the purposes that God made us. Do you think God creates any junk? No, he doesn't. He creates us just like he wants us. Now, we don't have all the same administrations. We don't have all the same jobs, but he creates us just like he wants us. And it's just like God the Father and God the Son. God the Father and God the Son, they're one, they're part of the Godhead, and yet they have different administrations. And Jesus says, I always do what my Father says. You think there's any conflict? Not a bit. The function of the Trinity is a beautiful picture of the way that man and woman should function. Beautiful picture. Now, I show you this, you've seen this before, but I have to almost show this when I preach a message like this. I like to show this because some people say, all you think about is whatever. So, we went over this. We know that we're born, we have born-again experience, we have eternal redemption, and we're serving the living God. And if you are a Christian, you're in here. We went over this before. You've seen it. And it's by the blood of Jesus that we become Christians. There's no question. We are in the middle. And so this is a subject that is for us because we are Christians. So for background scripture, I would like to just look at this scripture. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that is creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he him. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God saw that everything that he made, that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. For Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept. And he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And now, Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, this was before the fall. This is before the fall. It was before they had a sinful nature. And so here you have this beautiful husband and wife. And there was no shame. They had no sinful nature. They weren't ashamed. Nor did he have a bad mind. And so God created man and woman in his own image. And they had no sin. And it says that they created man and woman. And it's here God created woman to be a helpmeet for man. This is how God created a woman. To be a helpmeet for man. Now, did God make a mistake? What do you think? No, he didn't make a mistake. No, he didn't. So, you know, Adam and Eve's temptation came from without. We talked about that before. And so they had no sin inside. But then when they yielded, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Now, Satan likes to deceive you and I. And he deceived Eve. He deceived her. He lied. And the Bible says that Satan was a liar from the beginning. And he's still a liar. Right? He's still a liar. And right after Adam and Eve sinned, they knew they were naked. And God clothed them. But you know, Adam and Eve were God's crowning work. But when they sinned, then things were distorted. Their relationship was distorted. God's creation was distorted. And we've been suffering ever since. And it's still being perverted. God's creation still is being perverted. What we just said about homosexuality in the church. There's more ways that Satan is trying to pervert God's creation. And he will do that until he is put under. So, the woman being the helpmeet, woman in leadership is Satan's lie. Marriage between one man and one woman is a perversion. Adultery and homosexuality is Satan's lie. He is perverting what God says. The Bible says in Ephesians, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. There's three messages I see here in creation. One is the gender aspect. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Here's the gender aspect, male and female. Over in Thailand, somebody said they have seven different genders. And over there, when a boy is born and he's a little feminine, has a little feminine, they raise him as a girl. And I've gone in a store already, and you see this deep-voiced person out there dressed like a girl. And our girls over there in Ransom Ministries, they went for training down in Pattaya, Thailand, and they went out to minister to these prostitutes, and they said, what do? We find these lady boys. And so this website I told you was on from Brethren Mennonite, they are supporters of gay and bisexual and transgender, that's changing your gender, and lesbians. It's a distortion of God's creation. And so, one of the messages from creation before the fall is that there's male and female. You know, there's a lot of things in our society that wants to squeeze people into that gender similarity, you know, unigender, unisex, all sorts of things. I believe we should take measures that we know that we're what sex we are. God plans it that way. The next thing is the marriage aspect. Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. God created man and woman to have one mate. You know that some of the homosexuals, this whole big push in our country for homosexual marriages, some people say, well, you got divorce and remarriage, a forerunner. They justify their thing by that thing. But the message from creation is one man and one woman. Otherwise, it's adultery. And the other one is the function aspect. Genesis 2:18, I will make him a helpmeet for him, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her to the man. And God said it was good. It was good. You know, God's creation was, they're all harmonious, they're pure, they're proper, and they're very good. All of God's creation. Amen? Amen. And this evening, I would like to look at the function aspect of that. Now, he says, I will make man, him a helpmeet for him. Remember, this is before the fall. Which the Lord God had taken from man, made a woman, and brought her unto man. Now, let's look at this word help. The word help. It's used elsewhere in the Bible like this. And the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. This is this place where it's used. Now, the next one. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. That's another place that help is used. And then another place it is. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. Help isn't a bad word. It's a good word. Aren't you glad we have help from the Lord? And woman was made as a helpmeet for her husband. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for my wife. And another place, my help cometh from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. Same word as it used, as the Lord made man a helpmeet. Ladies, God planned for you as special. Now let's look at the function aspect. This is the context of the Christian woman's veiling. And you can call this different things, but I'm calling it the Christian woman's veiling. And we'll see why. Now, it's God's arrangement for headship. God's arrangement for headship. Also, next, it comes from creation. And the next thing is because of the angels. And we like to look at these things. Now, some people say that this is a cultural thing. Yes, it is. It's God's culture. Because it comes from him. In every way. Not one place does it even indicate that it was a Corinth culture. Let's look at the context of the Christian woman's veiling. It's God's arrangement for headship. We see that you have God, Christ, man, and woman. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm at 10. Let's go to 11. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances I delivered them unto you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is a man, and the head of Christ is God. So here we have it. We have God, Christ, man, woman. Now the way it shows it here, it says, first of all, I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ. There. So the head of man is Christ. You know what I believe, men? I believe if this is going to fall by the wayside, it's largely your fault. I believe that. Maybe not all the time. But if you have a man that's ashamed to see his wife in a veiling, that's too bad. Man has failed in a lot of these ways. Yeah, the men that's teaching this over the pulpit is a Corinth cultural thing. You see young men going and dating the worldly girls instead of the plain girls. Pressure on. Maybe that's not here. The ladies have pressure on them from men. Remember, we are accountable as men. We are accountable to lead the church. We are accountable to lead the flock. We're accountable to teach the truth. We're accountable to help our wives be who they should be. And when we fail, they'll fail. You know, I've seen different men. That girl turns out a lot the way the man is. And so, men, we need to know the truth and teach the truth and support the truth. And not be ashamed of the truth. And then it says, the head of woman is man. And then it says, the head of Christ is God. So, this is a beautiful arrangement. Beautiful arrangement. You know, I've been a mechanic. And we would say, when an engine runs good, it purrs like a kitten. You ever hear that saying? The engine, it purrs like a kitten. It runs smooth. Everything is just running right in sync. The points work. All the pistons fire at the right time. And the littlest to the biggest part can make it stop if it's not running right. But when it purrs like a kitten, and God's arrangement of headship, it should purr like a kitten. It's not like there's competition. They're not like the one wants to be greater than the other. It's just functioning like an engine should. And then you have the most power. Wonderful. That's the way God created mankind. So this isn't something to be ashamed of. It's something to embrace because it makes life so much better. So I like that idea. And you know that a home that functions correctly, everybody's synchronizing as God wants it to be. Children honoring their parents. Children obeying their parents. Husbands loving their wives like Christ loved the church. Not a snotty guy, not a big guy, you boy me because I'm the boss. But somebody's willing to give his life for his wife. And a wife that's willing to submit to her husband. It's synchronizing. Creation. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman. Let's read the rest of the scripture here, starting with verse 5. But every woman that prays, verse 4, every man praying and prophesying, having his head covered, dishonored his head. Praying or prophesying, that's praying to God, and prophesying is talking to somebody else about God. But every woman that prays or prophesied with her head uncovered, dishonors her head. For that is even one as if she were shaven. For if a woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head or authority on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judging yourself, is it commonly that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if a man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now I'd like to go through this scripture. We'll see that he appeals to creation. He doesn't appeal to the culture. He appeals to creation. And Adam said, now is bone of my bone and my flesh is be called woman because she was taken out of man. And in 1 Corinthians 11:8, it says, for man is not of the woman, nor woman of the man. Neither was man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. So we see here that the culture or the reason for this, one of the reasons, is creation. Then we see another reason for it is the angels. Now we'll say, what about the angels? In 1 Corinthians, it says, for this cause a woman to have power or authority on her head because of the angels. So why the angels? I think the way to find out what that means is let's look at some other places in the scripture and see what angels do. Now, so we'll look at this. In Hebrews 1:14, it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So this is a command on the sister's behalf. Angels, it says, they're ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. And if this is because of the angels, it's for your benefit. In Isaiah 6:2, it says, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain they did fly. This was their job. In 1 Timothy 5:21, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one another before another, doing nothing by partiality. And so, this is the job of angels. So, it's a benefit when our sisters are covered because of the angels. It's not a, we think, some people think it's not a benefit. But it's a benefit. And God expects it to be that way. So we have creation, and we have the angels. And now I would like to look and see that, creation, the angels, and headship. Three reasons that the scripture gives about the Christian woman's veiling, but not only the Christian woman's veiling, but the man's unveiled head. It's the same for the same reason, for the same reason. Now, let's look at the words in here. We have the words, and then I'm going to look at the Greek words. I need to use the numbers so instead of the words. We see that covered here is covered is kata in the Greek. Uncovered is katakaluptos. Covered is katakaluptos. Covers, katakaluptos. We're looking, taking all these incidents. Cover, katakalupto. Uncover, a katakalupto. It's the negative. And then in verse 15, there's another covering, which is a different word. It's called parabolion. Now, let's look at these words. The first one, katakalupto. Now, katakalupto, if you look at the Strong's Dictionary, is the number 2619, and that is a compound word. Compound word 2596 and 2572. Now, the 2596 is translated like this way, according, or after, or as. So, kata. Kata is the first of the compound word, and it is translated according or after. Now, kalupto is translated in the following ways. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch as the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. So that means according to being covered. Another way that second part of the compound word is used at another scripture. No man, when he has lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that which they which enter in may see. So cover, it's covered. Fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall be not be revealed, or hid that shall not be known. So it's according to cover, being covered. That's what this katakaluto is. Let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sin. So the real, the word, that compound word is according to being covered. That's what it means. So let her be covered. Covered. Another way, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourself, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I have no question that this means to be covered. I think mostly what I've seen here is a person covering their head. Sometimes I wonder when something gets so little, it's not really covered. You know, it doesn't give you the kind of material, but it's the covered head. And we believe it's a special covering because of its significance. It's not a covering for the weather because of what it's for. But it's a covering. It's clear. Now, let's look at it again. Even as our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Now let's look at another thing. The noun for kalupto is number 2571. Now you have the same word, some as a verb and some as a noun. Now the noun for this same word is found in Corinthians. And are not like Moses who put a veil over his head. This is a noun for the verb that we just looked at. The next one. And their minds being hardened, for until this day at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. And in verse 15, but to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lieth over his heart. This is the noun for the verb covered. There's no doubt in my mind that he's talking about a covered head. And it's for the benefit. It's because of the angels, because of creation. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The word covered used in verse 15 will be addressed after the word nature. Now let's look at that word nature. In verse 13, it says, judge in yourself. Is it comely that a woman pray unto the God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory for her, for her hair is given her for covering. Let's look at that word nature. Now, where else is that word nature used in the Bible? The nature of things, order of nature, that's what it means, as opposed to that which is produced by art of man. For if you were cut out of what is by nature a wild tree and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? You see what it's talking about? The natural thing there, nature. Then in Ephesians, among them we too all formerly lived in lust of our flesh, indulging in desiring of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory for her, for her hair. Now, let's go back to the covering, the nature. It says there that the nature, it doesn't even nature tell it teach you. The long hair is nature's object lesson. Does not even nature itself tell you. And we see where the way it's been interpreted other places in Scripture, that nature, the long hair is nature's object lesson for us. Then we have, it says, but if the woman have long hair, it is a glory for her that her hair is given her for covering. That is parabolian. That is the word. And this denotes something thrown around, a veil, covering, or a mantle about the body, a vesture from vines. Her long hair is nature's object lesson for a veil. The covering catechalupto is this special covering for our sisters. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory for her. Her hair is given her for a covering. If the Holy Spirit wanted the hair to be the covering for praying or prophesying, it would read like this. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a catechalupto. If he was saying that the covering is the hair, the special covering is the hair, the Holy Spirit would have said her hair is given her for a catechalupto instead of saying her hair is a parabolian. So in conclusion, I like to give some loose ends. If a woman's hair was the covering, man would have to take his off. What about verse 16? But if a man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. They have no such custom of not wearing the veiling. Application. Satan is out to deceive today just the same as he did in the garden. He has not changed. This is God's will. And it's good. So three messages from the creation, the gender aspect. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And the marriage aspect, Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And the function aspect, Genesis 2:18, I will make him a helpmeet for him. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto man. So, let's be faithful. Let's remain faithful. Let's be biblical. I'd like to give you a story to close. In our congregation at Goshen, I pastored a church in Maryland for 30-some years, Goshen Mennonite Church. And there's some folks from down back of our church we visited in our canvassing. And one day they were coming out the road, and it was snowing, and they said, why don't we stop in here? So they come in. They were going to an evangelical Lutheran church, and they were homeschoolers. And the preacher was saying that they need to report anybody that abuses their children. So, you know, if they spank their children, they got started getting scared. So they just come in there and they visited, and then they come about half time, and half the time they wouldn't. And finally, the Lord convicted her to wear a veiling. And she did. She started wearing a veiling. I don't think her parents were too happy with it. But she did it by conviction, not because she grew up with it. And bless that dear lady. She took serious her relationship to her husband, and she would go out in the public with her veiling on. And this was something for her to witness. People come and ask her. I mean, now I know you don't have a lot of the Mennonites around here, and that's the way we were in our church. It was not like Holmes County or Lancaster County. And it just gave her witness. She saw it as a benefit for witness. She saw it as the Lord's will. And then we have some people that are ashamed. Instead of ashamed, she's saying, man, this is God's will. And I think that's the way it is, because it is God's will. And I would like for us to embrace God's will, and he will bless his people. There's many, many stories that you could tell. So I'd just like to encourage this congregation and give you hope. And to us young people here, you're growing up, and it's not always easy. My wife and I both graduated from Lancaster Mennonite High School. And if you would see most of our classmates the way they are today, they went. And why? What is it that takes them? And where does that path lead to? And I'm not putting everybody way on the left-hand side, but I'm saying we don't want to start down that path. We want to be scriptural and biblical so that we can be faithful. God bless you. I'll hand it back to you.